You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Breaking news with Roxanne Featherly.
We are live at Duckburg National Bank, where a robotic menace tore up the building, leaving patrons traumatized. You were there, young man. Could you see the pure evil in his cold robot eyes?
What? He was wearing a visor.
I see. So what's he trying to hide?
No, he saved me. He was smart and noble and made of metal. Everything I've always wanted to be, almost. Where did he come from? Will I see him again? Will he sign his commemorative dollar bill?
Be sure to vote in our online poll, RoboCrook. Incompetently dangerous or dangerously incompetent?
Neither. He's a hero.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 18, Who is Gizmo Duck? I'm one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
And we're back. We did not get to two episodes last week like we had hoped.
Whoops.
But
oh, sorry about
that's
that.
Okay. That's okay. We are gonna catch up. We will. But do we have any news before we jump into it? I don't think we do, do we?
I don't think we do.
There are more sightings of the action figures showing up. So if you've got a Target in your area, go check that out and see if you can find any of the DuckTales action figures. But other than that, I think it's basically just we're just a straight shot to the season finale. So
yeah, and if you do see the DuckTales action figures anywhere. Send us an email, and then we will send you our address so you can send some to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Well, with that, do you want to just jump right into the episode?
Yeah, I think we probably should. Okay. This episode is the second episode to feature Gizmo Duck.
Yes.
And as a result, there are not very many of the main cast in this one. It's very much a Gizmo Duck episode.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the description. As Fenton figures out how to be a hero, Mark Beek offers to hire Gizmo Duck and help him defend all of Duckburg. This was originally aired on July 14th, 2018. Writer Christian Maghalas and director Tanner Johnson. And Christian, we are sorry if we are mispronouncing your last name. Send us a message and let us know what the proper pronunciation is so we can correct this in the future episode. But yeah, this is the same team that did the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that these are not in production order, so we normally wouldn't see these two do two episodes in a row. But let's jump into our top three moments. Mike, why don't you kick us off here?
Yeah. We open up with the bank robbery, and it's a bit of a classic. This is actually it's funny because it's kind of a turn on the last time we saw Gizmo Duck. We opened with the Darkwing Duck episode that was a bank robbery. So this is kind of almost reflecting that. Kind of a little bit, right?
That's a cool parallel that you
Guys,
that's great.
And it's Dewey, right? Dewey's there, and witnesses the arrival of Gizmo Duck, and Gizmo Duck does his best.
No, it's Huey.
Is it Huey?
Huey, because Huey's the only of the
of
the triplets in this episode.
I couldn't remember if it was Huey or Dewey in this episode. So Huey. And Gizmo Duck, he is not quite He's not quite as heroic.
He's a little green.
Yeah, he's a little green. He's figuring it out. There's just a few too many gizmos inside the Gizmo Duck suit, and it's a little bit hard to coordinate exactly what is getting used. But that's kind of the arc of this episode. So we'll get to that by the end of it. But early on in the episode, it's very clear that the core processor just isn't cutting it. It's not. It doesn't have the ability to interface and make the right decisions as quickly as they need it to. There's a bit of a theme throughout DuckTales whenever the technology stuff is involved of sort of like a wariness of automation, which I think is interesting. Kara and I watched this episode on Saturday, and then we watched Beware the Buddy System right afterwards. And I found it really interesting that these episodes kind of both have this, and as well as the what's the name of the episode? The Great Dime Chase. They all have this. Anytime that Gyro Gearloose is involved, there's a little bit of a beware automation, beware robots.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's kind of they all turn evil sooner or later. Now the core processor in Gizmo Duck doesn't turn evil, but it's not helpful. It gives a lot of suggestions, but those suggestions aren't always the best. You know, like pies to the face and that sort of thing. So it makes for good jokes, but not for great superheroics. So I thought that was a really cool way to start this off, to show that even though Fenton has the suit, it's not perfect yet. There's still a long ways to go before he's Gizmo Duck. And I love it because there's the parallel to the original DuckTales series, where the first few times that Fenton uses the Gizmo Duck suit, he isn't exactly on top of things. There's a lot of sort of goofy gags, but he ends up saving the day just like he does in this. But sometimes by accident, sometimes, not exactly through daring heroics. But then by the time that we see him in Darkwing Duck, he has that down pat, because he is the Superman to Darkwing's Batman, right? So yeah. He's actually quite good at being a superhero. In fact, he might be better than Darkwing to a certain degree. So,
well, there's the purpose for that, because Gizmo Duck is used as a foil for Darkwing in that show. So he has to be good, because he has to upstage Darkwing because of Darkwing's insecurities.
Yeah.
There has to be that play there. So we can't have a green Gizmo Duck in Darkwing Duck. But it's cool to see the origins of the story here, because I feel like now it's been a long time since I've watched the last season of DuckTales, because it's not out on DVD, so I haven't seen those last couple dozen episodes, but that's all I really know of Gizmo Duck, is Green Gizmo Duck, of Fenton figuring it out, and I can't remember if he, through the course of those last bunch of episodes, if he actually comes into his own in the DuckTales show itself.
I really enjoyed that part. I really enjoyed sort of the goofiness of it, and some great action, even though it was silly. That's my first one. What's your first highlight?
Well, I really love when eventually Fenton goes over to Mark Beeks and starts to form up a contract with Mark and become an exclusive Waddle property and becomes Waddle Duck. And then there's the montage of him saving people. And there is an amazing song in this episode, the Waddle Duck theme song. It's so great. It is a throwback to 80s pop rock. If you like the Transformers soundtrack and that kind of thing. And then I watched that with the boys, and they love the song. And then a few days later, we went to see the Teen Titans Go movie, and that movie is a musical, and every song is an 80s pop rock song.
Oh, nice.
It's just fantastic. Yeah, it's so good. So I'm a big fan of that era. So it's nice to see that throwback. Mm-hmm. And they replaced the end music with the Waddle Duck theme song too in this episode.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Cool. I really liked Huey's sort of plans for Gizmo Duck, how he kind of wants to be a sidekick a little bit. He wants to help him figure out how to be a hero, and he's got all these ideas, and eventually that ends up paying off. But there's a moment there when Gizmo Duck starts working for Mark Beeks where Huey kind of turns on him a little bit, and I love when he's got the sign and he's protesting Waddle Duck at the at the press conference.
It's interesting how he can tell.
Mark Beeks from Fenton.
Yeah, but he can't tell that Fenton is. I guess all ducks have the same bill, but of course, Mark Beeks is like a. I don't know if he's supposed to be a pigeon or.
Yeah,
what exactly
he has a beak though,
but he has a very different style beak, and so he can tell that it's not the same person.
Yeah, for sure.
So I really enjoyed Gizmo Duck as he like the corporate mascot Gizmo Duck trying to do good but helping people with just it's such a reflection of our culture. It's like people have an access to a help system built into their phone. So what do? They need help parallel parking, so they call for help. It's like the abuse of the system, which is supposed to be there for actual people who need help. And I just feel like that's kind of a pointed remark at the way our culture works sometimes. But then the best part was that he sees a real emergency and Gizmo Duck tries to help, and then there's been some sort of fail-safe built into the little Waddle logo that he wears that renders his suit inoperable so that he can't help people who aren't signed up for the Waddle app. He's like, you have to sign up for the app and check the email verification and, you know, whatever he said there. It was just really funny.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You give your last one and then I'll do it because mine's kind of the end of the episode.
Okay. So. I have when Mark Beeks. When Mark Beeks becomes Gizmo Duck, that I really like that whole sequence where he becomes Gizmo Duck from the very first moment. I'll talk about the reference in the behind the scenes part, and then as it's really cool to contrast both of them. So Gizmo Duck, he knows what he's supposed to do. He's altruistic. He genuinely wants to help people. And then Mark Beeks, his sentence is, I will make the decisions on who gets to get saved first or something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's, again, I feel like a comment on certain things that are happening politically in our world today. And it's just it's just an interesting parallel.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also really funny because he doesn't know what he's doing. And one of Mark Beeks' signature moves throughout the times that we've seen him is doing his little finger guns. Pew, 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 pew. But this time, actual lasers fire out of him. And they just, you know, go through Huey's sign and stuff. I thought that part was great.
Yeah. And then that ends up resulting in Mark Beeks using too many gizmos. And I liked it because Fenton is like, you're going to overload the core processor. And then, Mark Beeks is like, nobody tells me what to do. And he just starts using all of the gizmos, cause he's an idiot. And ends up, the core processor's going to explode and, Fenton's got to do something about it. And that's when Huey steps in and finally tells him, grabs him and kind of says, no, this is the plan. You are the core processor. And meanwhile, he's kind of ripping pieces out of the back of his helmet and reconfiguring it. And I love it at the end as he finishes, he's like, you are Gizmo, or you are the core processor. And he's like, what are the two badges? Cause he's like, that's my electronics and philosophy badge.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
That's the giveaway that should be the giveaway that it's Huey. Jeez. I can't believe I thought it was Dewey at the beginning. but yeah, I, And as he does that, and then when he kind of finally finishes and plugs it in to Fenton, I don't even know how that works, but whatever. It's a cartoon, so it doesn't need to. It goes through this like whole thing where it zooms into his brain, and as it gets to the inside of his brain, we see an embryonic Fenton crack shell Cabrera.
Yes.
And that's a reference to 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Right.
And I just thought that was so funny here in the midst of a children's cartoon. My 2-year-old daughter watching this show and loving every second of it. And then this happens and it's like, well, that's a reference that no kid under 15 is going to understand. and very few kids between 15 and 18 are going to understand. So yeah, I thought that was so great because I always love it when they kind of throw in an Easter egg that's just for us. That's like, yeah, we know there's a bunch of 30 and 40 year old guys watching this show. It's funny, the Nickelodeon gave a little sneak preview of the new Ninja Turtles this past week. It's up, if you're in the States, it was on the Nickelodeon app, or it is on the Nickelodeon app. You can watch the first episode. And here in Canada, they aired the first episode on YTV on Saturday. So I've been kind of getting amped up for it. Just a little bit of a tangent, but it's related to DuckTales.
Okay.
And so I was trying to find, because I knew that it was available in the States, and I was trying to find information on whether or not it was available in Canada. And through because we have a Nick Go app, which is kind of the same, but not really. It doesn't have the same content, but it's the same idea of like all the streaming videos and stuff.
Right.
So I'm trying to find, because I really want to watch this new Ninja Turtles series. And I'm sort of scouring through the Facebook posts and that sort of thing, trying to find information. And I see people commenting, particularly on this post about April. Because for those who might not know, April, a traditionally white character, is African-American in the new incarnation, and quite a bit more sassy, and the whole tone of the show is much more comedic. So I have no problem with this. I actually think that it's a great thing. I really like the new character. I really like the new designs and everything. And she fits, this version of April fits with this version of the Turtles much better. You mentioned Teen Titans Go earlier, yep. And the new Turtles is the one of the showrunners on it comes from Teen Titans Go. So it shares a very similar tone to that. So an update to April makes a lot of sense to me. But there are a lot of people out there, mysteriously, it's so odd, that seem to have an issue with the fact that a traditionally white character is now African American, and they all, as far as I could tell, happen to be 30 to 40 year old white men that really, really care. And it's such an odd phenomenon. It's almost like they were all between the ages of 5 and 10 when Ninja Turtles started airing, and they have some sort of weird ownership over it. So it's just this funny thing where these shows are for kids. DuckTales is for kids. Ninja Turtles is for kids. Teen Titans Go to the Movies is for kids. But it's great when they acknowledge the fans, like the older fans that are in the audience, and they give us something fun, a cool reference or a joke that goes over the heads of the kids. But it's really important to remember that those need to be peppered in. They shouldn't be the show. Right. So there are two references within this episode of DuckTales. You alluded to one of them, and I talked about the 2001 reference. They're definitely for the older fans, but
well, and just the 80s style song as well.
The 80s style song for sure as well. But they're also palatable for kids.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that that's important. I also think it's important that Fenton is And we didn't really talk about Fenton's mother, although, well, I guess you've got it in the Easter eggs. So let's get into the Easter eggs a little bit.
Well, just before you go on, yeah. I just want to make one comment about what you're saying. It's a smart show that can put in these references, mm-hmm. but not alienate the younger viewers at yes. the same time.
Yes.
And I think that's the brilliance of something like Looney Tunes, the classic Looney
Absolutely.
Tunes from the 40s, 50s, 60s, because those are completely filled with references to pulp culture of that time. I mean, there are certain episodes of Looney Tunes that have, you know, like the ones where they look at all of the different covers of the books, and it's so filled with caricatures of people from that day. Kids aren't going to enjoy those episodes, and that those ones stand out as ones that you can't enjoy as much because you don't mm-hmm. know the references. But all of the other ones, the references are built in a way that if you are removed from the culture by 70 years, you can still enjoy the cartoon.
Yeah.
And that's what DuckTales is doing here. Animaniacs, for the most part, did that as well in the 90s.
Yeah.
And that's the way you got to do it. And so, yeah, good job, guys.
So yeah, jumping into the Easter eggs, we'll talk a little bit about Fenton's mother, mm-hmm. Played by Salinas Leva. I don't really know how to pronounce that, but
I'm guessing it's Leva.
Yeah, who some people might know as Gloria Mendoza on Orange Is the New Black, mm-hmm. as Officer Cabrera, is Fenton's mother, and that it's notable because Fenton's family and Fenton are Latino, which is, I mean, like, that's obviously very different from the character in the original series, who really doesn't have an ethnicity, but that, let's just say for the sake of argument, because this is absolutely the intention, he's just Caucasian, right? I mean, he's a duck,
right.
So it's weird, but they
make a point of coloring his feathers in this version
yeah.
a different color to denote a different race.
Yeah. And I think they did it so well in DuckTales because it doesn't, in his first appearance, it didn't really affect anything. It was
yeah.
just, it wasn't notable. It wasn't anything. But then here we are in his second appearance, and in his second appearance, his mother gives some signals to people who can pick up on those signals that they are absolutely a Latino family, right? I mean, she's watching
yeah.
a telenovela on TV and they use a little bit of Spanish in the way that they talk to each other. And so I love that because much like April being African-American in the New Turtles, and as well, Splinter in the New Turtles is very, very Japanese, but not in the Mr. Miyagi, wise sensei, way that he has been in past cartoons, but in a way he's watching, sitting on the couch watching Japanese game shows and laughing hysterically at a guy on a he's on a treadmill and the turtles are talking to him and he's like, go away, they're about to hit him with the scorpions, and then they start throwing scorpions at this guy on a treadmill, which anybody who knows anything about Japanese game shows knows
oh,
that
yeah.
they're ridiculous.
That's
like
actually
that.
Probably is a real game show.
It's probably
like
a
that.
Real thing, yeah. so I love it when there can be some authenticity and some added cultural flair to characters and franchises that were previously I'm not saying whitewashed to say like, oh, like there's an agenda, like there's a white agenda. I don't honestly feel like that's it for the most part. I think that, as I was getting to before, in North America, we have a tendency to just see white as the default, especially white people. I'll speak for white people when I say that. You boot up a new video game and it's got a character creator. That character is most often set to the default of a white guy, right? And I love that these cartoons are managing to show a little bit of representation, but do it in a way that isn't like in your face. It's not like now introducing the new black character for Ninja Turtles or the new Latino character for DuckTales. It's like, well, let's take an existing character. Let's stay true to the character, but let's just add this other layer onto them. See what that does for their story. See what that does for their interaction with other characters. And if it's interesting, it's interesting. If it's not, it's not a big deal, right? Like, it's not, well, it's not overpowering. And they've managed to do that with Fenton really, really well, to the point that I don't hear anybody saying anything about Fenton. And like I said, those comments on Facebook, people are mad that April O'Neil is African American in a cartoon. And it's like, their justification is that April has always been white. And to me, it's like, April has always been a cartoon character, and that shouldn't preclude her from any change if it's a motivated change to tell a new interesting. If you're rebooting something, reboot it. Do something new. Do something exciting. DuckTales, the new Ninja Turtles series, all of these shows that are getting re-released, they're motivated, right? The changes are changing. They're changed for a reason, and they have different personality and different attitudes towards them. And so then, if everything's organic and built out of that, I think it's a good thing. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say that this is probably a different case in terms of Fenton's mom. Mm-hmm. Because not only did they change her race, but they also changed her personality completely. She is not the same character as she was before.
That's true. And
so,
yeah.
So this is the other aspect of it, is 'cause Fenton, his personality, his character is the same. They just mm-hmm. put a different layer on it, like you said. His mom is a completely different story. She is not the couch potato, unemployed, mm-hmm. lazy person that we know from the original DuckTales show. And I think that's important because, yeah if you're going to change the race,
yeah,
then I don't think that, especially, like, we don't want to fall into any bad stereotypes or anything like that.
Yep.
And especially with we're going to bring politics into here, with the political climate as it is, we don't want to be portraying an immigrant as a lazy bum.
Yeah.
That's just not what we want to do.
For sure.
We know, I'm going to say that she's an immigrant because she's got an accent.
Yes.
as if English is her second language.
Yeah.
And so she is, she's new to the country. She's built up a career as a police officer defending this new home that she has in America. I think that's fantastic. And then her son doesn't have the accent because he was born and raised in America.
Yeah.
And that's Fenton. And it just paints a nice picture on how I think a well-functioning immigrant family should be in America.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the thing. Even if they weren't a Latino family, I think that character from the original series is dated. I think that's one of those characters that you look at and you go, they would never write a character like this in, at least not a character so closely tied to a hero.
And it's not just that she's like that she's unemployed. It's like she's actually trailer trash.
Yeah,
she is, and
I remember that character as being hurtful. It's funny because I didn't connect that until you started talking about it, because it's been so long since I've watched any of that, any of those old episodes that featured Fenton's mother.
Yeah.
But the second that you started talking about it, I had, before I could remember the details, I had a sense memory of just like not liking that character and being uncomfortable, right? Like feeling bad.
Yeah.
And I think like that's important because that character was a very negative character. And so to change that into a positive role model, especially again, not just the Latino aspect of it, but I should be saying Latina in reference to her. Right. But also the fact that she is a woman, right? So
yes.
You'd kind of be hitting it with a twofold, like here's a Latina, a woman who is lazy, whatever, blah blah blah, describe it however you want. Instead, what do we have? We have a very strong, upstanding, moral character who's very heroic in her own right in this episode. And what a better character to play off of Fenton. And what a great dynamic moving forward to write with that Fenton, who is secretly Gizmo Duck, funded by Scrooge McDuck, the richest duck in the world, or second if you ask Glomgold. And yet his mother is like, you know, you need to do something with your life. You need a better paying job or a job that pays at all. And all that sort of thing. And it's like, here's Fenton, like, sort of really sacrificing a lot in order to be a hero, including sacrificing how his mother perceives him. And if she knew that, she'd be really proud of him. So I think that's a really cool dynamic. That's such a great, complex relationship to explore inside of a kid's show, and much more interesting than Fenton's mother throwing things at him and yelling at him and telling him that he's good for nothing, as we had in the original series, right? So, yeah.
Well, she did do that, but here's the thing that's common between the two of them.
Yes.
The old Ma Crackshell and the new Ma Crackshell Cabrera, is that they still do love each other. There actually is a good relationship between both of those characters.
That's true.
So that's important there. It's like the mom was a deadbeat, but she still loved and cared for her son.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she just didn't have the capacity to fully care for him or do what needed to be done. This new Ma Crackshell still loves Fenton, but it's interesting because he's trying to do a really good thing, like get in with Scrooge McDuck, even though it's an unpaid internship. He's still like working hard to get his foot in the door or whatever, but she's not satisfied with that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a struggle there that I think over the course of the next season, hopefully we'll see that develop a little bit more. I'm assuming there will be a point where Fenton reveals or has his alternate ego revealed to mm-hmm. his mom, and she has to reconcile with that and or be proud of him or whatever. So there's a lot of room for growth. I think they set the two characters up in a good spot.
Yeah.
So that their story can go somewhere.
Absolutely. Cool. What are some of the other Easter eggs and references in this episode?
Okay, so whenever I love that we could see the inside of Gizmo Duck's visor and see a little bit of his display. We never saw anything like that in the old DuckTales. And there's because this wasn't a way of thinking, really. It wasn't until Iron Man when we started to kind of get that sort of inside the POV view, and the little bulb pops up in the bottom corner saying, "Do you need any help?" And that's definitely a reference to the little paperclip icon that pops up in MS Word, Microsoft Word, all the time.
Yes.
The annoying one that won't go away. I don't even know if Microsoft Word in the new versions has that anymore. Okay, the thing that I alluded to earlier was that when Mark Beeks first puts on the Gizmo Duck outfit, and this happened in the other episode with Gizmo Duck as well, mm-hmm. that there was a Sailor Moon reference. The whole montage of his form kind of glowing. You can see stars or whatever, and the camera swirling around him, and all the pieces kind of joining him is a direct reference to Sailor Moon, that great anime from the 90s.
Yep. Absolutely. And I love that we saw it the first time that he transformed, and I think I noted it in that episode, and then to see it here with Mark Beeks. It's almost even funnier with Mark Beeks because he kind of is relishing in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good reference. I like that. Anything else?
Yeah. So the last reference that I could see is in the opening when the Beagle Boys are robbing the bank. They're all wearing duck masks over their Beagle yes. Boy masks to disguise themselves. I thought that was really funny. But Bouncer is wearing a hockey goalie mask that has a duck bill, which is very, very similar to the Mighty Ducks hockey team logo, but also the character of Wild Wing from the Mighty Ducks cartoon always wore a goalie hockey mask.
Now, this brings up a really important point. The Mighty Ducks, technically part of Disney Afternoon.
Absolutely.
And in this world, could absolutely show up.
They sure should, and I would love to see, because they're a superhero team. They're yeah. hockey players, but they're a superhero team, so let's see Gizmo Duck and the Mighty Ducks team up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Now, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be upset. So I hope that somebody is listening to this that can tell those responsible for making decisions.
I think that if that were to happen in season two, we probably would have seen a little tease of that
sure.
at Comic-Con, unless it's going to be like a later half of season two kind of surprise, which could be. But let's hold out for season three. Let's see if that happens.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I guess with that, that's all of our Easter eggs and behind the scenes stuff. Let's check in with our junior woodchucks and see what they think.
This is the Junior Woodchucks podcast.
My name is Peter.
My name is Milo.
And today we are going to talk about the episode, Who is Gizmo Duck? Because who is Gizmo Duck? Boom!
What was your favorite part, Peter?
My favorite part was when Gizmo Duck goes all crazy at the bank and the bank lady says, "The money's on fire! All the money!"
Then she stops, drops, and rolls.
That is right. What is your favorite part?
All of it's my favorite part. Dun, dun, dun!
So, Milo, what is your funniest part?
When Gizmo Duck was going haywire at the bank.
My funniest part was actually all of it. I actually don't know. What is this episode about?
Gizmo Duck!
You're making it sound like Captain Underpants theme, and it totally does
Gizmo
not.
Gizmo Duck!
Can you please stop that?
Tra-la-la!
Now you're just being Captain Underpants. Let's just stick to the... Oh, whatever. Anyways, I think Milo's a little crazy.
Tra-la-la!
Don't even think about it, Milo.
Oh, I will think about it.
Okay, I don't know if Milo's gonna, like, keep on doing it. So, I better sign out here. So,
tra-la-la, tra-la-la,
bye.
Tra-la-la.
Peter signing
I'm Captain
out.
Captain Underpants. Tra-la-la. Captain Underpants. Shine red, what?
Okay, we actually have a piece of mail, an email today from Roy. He wrote us a nice long email, so some of it we've already addressed, talking about Ma Crackshell or Mama Crackshell, but I'll read some of his comments. But he had some comments about Agent 22 from the last episode. So he says, "Hello, Curtis and Mike. I just wanted to write in and let you know how much I have enjoyed your podcast. My first one listening was your latest, The Confidential Case Files of Agent 22, also one of my favorite episodes. I wanted to share some thoughts about a couple episodes. First, about Agent 22, you guys covered just about everything, but I don't remember you mentioning the very last frames of the episode. I found it odd that instead of focusing on the warm hug scene between Scrooge and Webby, who had just been instructed to call him Uncle Scrooge for the first time, they instead chose to zoom in on the vial of gummy berry juice in Webby's pocket. And then again, they zoomed in closer on it before the credits roll. And that has to be intentional, obviously. To me, it's a sign that in this new Disney Afternoon universe, we are not through with the gummy bears yet. It makes me hopeful that we'll actually see the gummy bears. I know it seems impossible since they lived in the past in the series, but with the appearance of Bubba the Cave Duck in Season 2, I'm hoping that time travel, or a time travel trip, will have several stops like in the original DuckTales. Maybe a stop at Castle Dunwin? What do you think?
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, they're obviously setting up the idea that the gummy berry juice is not, it's not a one-off. It won't be a throwaway reference, but that we could see that again in the future. But yeah, I like that idea. I like the idea that if we're traveling through time, that we could actually stop in that era as well. That'd be cool.
That would be really cool, and I think that would be a very appropriate way to have them in, and in a way that they don't have to pop up in every episode.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they can't if they're stuck in the past. So, you know, once a season they do their little time jump or whatever, and it'd be cool to have an episode where the gummy bears come to present day Duckburg and are just confused by everything or something like that too.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Okay, second half of his email, he says, a quick thought on the episode, Who's Gizmo Duck? I'm liking the new Fenton Gizmo Duck, and I loved all of his character development and learning his role as a hero and learning how to maneuver his suit, but I absolutely hate how they ruined the character of Mama Crackshell for me. I know making new twists on favorite characters is a thing this show is all about, but I've liked most of them, even Doofus. But I cannot get behind this new Mama Crackshell. Where is the fuzzy robe and slippers? Where is the trailer and the TV dinners? Where are the curlers in her hair? The only semblance to the original is that she still likes her soap operas, even if they are in Spanish. I will always miss Ducks of Our Lives. Laugh out loud. It is not about making her Spanish Latino duck. It isn't about the color of her feathers. In a show that is focusing so much on comedy, it's just a shame that the opportunity to incorporate what I thought was a genius act of comedy in the original character has been lost. She is a cop now instead of a couch potato that I came to love. And he says, sorry, my rant is over. I'm sorry if my letter is too long. You guys are doing a fabulous job, and I'm going back and listening to all the older episodes that I have missed. Keep up your good work, your fan, Roy. So, yeah, Roy speaks on the other end of what we were talking about just before the Junior Woodchucks segment. And, you know, it's a matter of preference, I think. I mean, it's okay to like the other Mama Crackshell more. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you can certainly always go back and watch the old DuckTales episodes and enjoy that. But there is a new one. And they decided to take a drastic change. And in this case, now, okay, I hate the term social justice warrior. Like, it's just anytime anyone uses it, it's just a bad scene.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is that I think it's great to be a social justice warrior, to stand up for groups that are misrepresented or underrepresented.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And in this case, it is great to have that Latino or Latina influence in the show of otherwise Caucasian characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's great. And same with April. People always complain, well, they're just doing that because they're all social justice warriors and it's all just a political move or whatever. And it's like, but how do you, I think it's a good thing to have that representation in there. How do you do it in a way that's not going to make people mad? I don't know.
Yeah. To what you were saying, it's social justice warrior. It's taken on a very pejorative context in the last couple of years. And I think that the most insidious, the worst part of that is that the idea that social justice is somehow unlikable to some people, that treating other people with respect and caring and having empathy for your fellow human, despite them having you know, maybe a different colored skin or different ideology than you. That's now considered to be a bad thing. So, I think it would be very easy for us to take one side of this and then to say Roy's on another side, right? Roy likes the original character. We like the new incarnation. We have different reasons and different motivations for liking those two things, and that's fine, right?
It is, yeah.
But I think that what's happening a lot on these forums and on the internet these days is that if you and I feel one way and then Roy feels another way and maybe somebody else agrees with Roy, now we are adversaries. Now everybody has to convince everybody else who's wrong, and then we start vilifying one another, and then it becomes a whole thing, right? And it doesn't need to happen. Roy's allowed to not like the new one and to like the old one. I would say to Roy, give it a little bit of time. It's a new incarnation, much like so many of these other... I mean, like, Beakley is a completely different character as well, right? Like, completely different. Totally. So, if you're willing to allow for that, Webby is also a completely different character, and I love what they've done with Webby. Right. If you're willing to allow for that, give this a chance. And I think that Roy is giving Officer Cabrera a chance, but I understand... There's comfort in familiarity, and sometimes I'm actually...
Well, and it's hard, you know, because Roy says that it's a character that he has come to love.
Yeah.
And when you love that old version, it is definitely hard to see a completely different version of that character that has the same name.
Yeah.
So it's totally valid. There's nothing wrong with that, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And so I think you can mourn the loss in this episode or in this character here, and then try to, you know, grow as we all are growing with this new character as well.
What I'll say, that, and this will close out this thought, that I think that people often mistake the discomfort of something different for the feeling of not liking something. And... I've been guilty of this in the past as well, and I'm doing my best to try and do better moving forward, right? Where when you're presented with something new or a different take on something, don't immediately dismiss it. Not to say that Roy is, but this is just where the topic's going. Don't dismiss it out of hand, right? Try and understand why the writers of whatever property or whatever creator you're talking about, why they're doing what they're doing, right? Honestly, I think the majority of this is motivated by the fact that somebody had the idea of getting Lin-Manuel Miranda to play, or he campaigned. I don't know how that happened. Lin-Manuel Miranda is very, like, he's very involved with Disney right now. So what Disney does is they get into relationships with creatives, whether they're directors, writers, actors, whatever. Bobby Moynihan, who is the voice of Louie on DuckTales, he's also going to be the voice of a character on Star Wars Resistance. That's because they've built a relationship, right? They've got all this stuff going on with Lin-Manuel right now, with all of these other things that he's doing with Disney. And so he's in the new Mary Poppins movie. There's one example.
That I'm really looking forward to.
Super excited for it.
That's so good.
I don't like Mary Poppins, but I'm interested to
really?
See. Yeah, I'm interested to see what this new one's like. Yeah. But my guess would be we already have a relationship with Lin-Manuel Miranda. Somebody talked to him about the new DuckTales, and he said, I would love to play a character on that show. And probably Frank Ngonez or somebody else went, well, he'd be really good for Fenton / Gizmo Duck. He could do both sides of that character. He can do that justice. And then from there, it starts to snowball. Okay, well, if Fenton is played by Lin-Manuel Miranda, then why don't we make him Crackshell Cabrera, right? Like, why don't we start to tie that in? And I mean, like, I think that they're also kind of tying in that character a little bit to the three how do you pronounce it, Caballeros? I never say it right.
Caballeros.
Yeah, okay. So like I think it kind of ties into that as well. It's showing that there's this larger universe And then the evolution of Mark Crackshell is Officer Cabrera, right? Like that. Yeah. It's organic, and that's what I was saying before. It's like, and that's why I'm trying to say, don't, when something is different, don't just immediately go, this is different from the thing that I loved, therefore I don't like it. If that were the case when they did Star Wars The Clone Wars, I shouldn't have liked the fact that the characters were voiced by someone other than the characters that played them on screen. To that, on that same note, not liking Solo because Alden Ehrenreich isn't Harrison Ford. It's totally unfair to that movie. It's unfair to the character of Han Solo. It's unfair to Alden Ehrenreich, right? Because the story of that movie is great. The character of Han Solo is great in that movie. And Alden Ehrenreich does a great job playing that character. So if you just like go different, don't like, right? Then, and this is the thing. This isn't about justice for the thing. This is about denying yourself enjoyment of things that are good because they're different. Right, so that's kind of
that's the whole Teen Titans Go the movie. People aren't going to see it because it's not the serious older Teen Titans.
Yeah,
That's just ridiculous.
Which like
the movie is fantastic.
Titans, which is coming next year, later this year. I think it's next year.
Yeah, there's your super serious Teen Titans.
I'm not down for that. I have a whole bunch of reasons why I'm not down for that particularly, but it's like it is the other end of that spectrum.
Yeah,
which is
they made it specifically
for
the people who don't like Teen Titans Go.
So okay, reboots are like buses these days. Wait 5 minutes, another one will be along. Ninja Turtles just got rebooted twice in the last 5 years. I mean I guess it's been a little bit over 5 years, but the 2K12.
Well,
Turtles,
three times if you count the movie franchise.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, the new animated Turtles. The 2K12 Turtles and the movie Turtles, and then IDW's in there somewhere as well.
True, yeah, with the comics.
These are all different versions of the Ninja Turtles, and guess what? Each one of them has their own valid reasons for existing. Yes, even the live-action movies. The first one's pretty terrible, but that second one is actually a really good movie, Out of the Shadows. So, I just say, you know, like turn that negativity into positivity and give things a chance, and let different be exciting again, because I think that our culture right now has turned different into something to be afraid of, and I think that what we need to do is look at different as exciting and interesting and something worth exploring, because if you're gonna reboot something, reboot it. Otherwise, you're just doing new episodes of an old series. And we have lots of episodes of DuckTales. We have lots of episodes of Ninja Turtles. God knows we have too many episodes of the original Ninja Turtles series. That show gets terrible towards the end. Let it be something new. And check out the new Ninja Turtles, because I really liked it. I really, really liked it. And Kara thought it was the greatest. She's maybe not the target demo because she's a little bit young, but she thought it was hilarious. She was laughing the whole time. So yeah, let different be exciting. That's the end of my rant.
Let's move on to our lucky dime rating.
Yeah.
Mike, what are you going to rate this one?
I'm going to go ahead and give this one 45 cents.
Oh. Okay, wow.
It's not quite. There's a couple of points. You know what it is? I don't really like Mark Beeks. Like, he grates on my nerves. So they're going to lose 5 cents for Mark Beeks being an annoying bad guy, as opposed to a fun bad guy like Glumble.
Okay, I'm going to give this one actually a 3.5, I think. Yeah, here's the thing, is that I wasn't as blown away with this episode as the first Gizmo Duck one. That one was just really, really great.
Yes.
And there are lots of fantastic aspects, but as an episode, just as on its own, the lack of most of the main characters, the I think the boy, how do I even verbalize my feelings here? I just wasn't as impressed with with this one as the last one. I don't know, the stakes weren't as high or anything. It was certainly fun. And 3.5 is not a bad mark. It's just not a high mark. The highest mark. So there you go.
Cool. What do our episode rankings look like for this one?
We see the tables turn a little bit here. So tying for the bottom spot is Golden Lagoon and Jaws with 16% each. So what I do with a tie is I go back to the previous week and see which one ranked lower. And in this case, it was Jaws. So that one's out. And then Beware the Buddy System got 32. And for the first time in several weeks, we have a new top spot. Agent 22 got 36% of the votes.
So we got a new champ this week. But it's close. It's still a close race. I'm really surprised to see Jaws drop out that quick. Cause that's one of my favorite episodes this season. I think I've watched it like 3 times now. Like Beware the Buddy System is my favorite episode this season. So, that's kind of right where it should be. I think I've watched that episode about 6 or 7 times now, nice. But, just cause of the Darkwing stuff mostly, but
Yeah,
very interesting. We're closing in on the end of the season, and it's going to be very interesting to see who's in those top 4 spots at the end of the season.
It's great because the episodes have just been getting better and better and better as the season goes along, and we can see that all of these episodes here are from the last half of the season.
It's a bit of like a rolling ranking, right? Like every time we hit a new episode, it's kind of like we're rolling. I mean, it always is, but it even more so, it's like for a little while there were episodes that were kind of hanging on for a while, and I guess Beware the Buddy System's been hanging on for a while.
There was the House of the Lucky Gander for a long time.
Yeah.
And same with Great Dime Chase.
So I think what'll be interesting is that when we're done at the end of the season, I want to take the percentage points each week for each episode in the season, add them up, and find out who got the highest percentage overall, kind of like over the weeks.
That might not be fair because then the season finale was only in for
Oh, that's true.
For 1 week.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That does kind of skew things, doesn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
In any case, we'll look at that because I think it'll be interesting to see like who really dominated, because you'll get Beware the Buddy System and Lucky Gander, I think, will probably be the highest on that list because they were consistently at the top for extended periods of time. So it's a very interesting ranking system to see who comes out on top.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about the next episode?
Yeah. So then our next episode is The Other Bin of Scrooge McDuck. Alina's loyalties are tested when Magica forces her to lead Webby on a raid to a facility full of Scrooge's most dangerous artifacts to find his number one dime.
Wow.
Yeah.
This one, I haven't watched it yet, but the buzz online is that this is a good one. So looking forward to it.
Cool. Awesome. I'm very much looking forward to it as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that does it for this week's episode, then.
It does. And, you know, we went in some very interesting places in this episode, and these are themes that we'll revisit time and time again, because this is just the current culture that we're in. This is how TV works now.
Yep.
And especially with a show like DuckTales, where every single character is a very different character, we're going to be revisiting this topic over and over again. So hopefully, I don't think we can need to go into it next time in as much detail. We can just refer people to this episode.
For sure.
But, you know, if you agree or don't agree with what we say, then send us an email. And as long as you're respectful in your tone and stuff, we'll dialogue with you and talk to you about it.
Absolutely.
It's a conversation that's worth having.
I think so. Yeah, unexpected. Didn't plan. No plans. There wasn't an agenda to go into this tonight. But that's where the conversation went, and I kind of I'm happy that it did, because I think that it's I just want people to think a little bit rationally and realize that there are other people on the end of those comment threads, and there are creatives who are pouring their hearts out to reimagine these franchises for us and bring back things that we love, and they're going to put their own twist on it, and they're allowed to. And I think that it's important that we have respect for those creatives and the work that they're doing. And you can love the original more, but just sort of respecting the work that's being done, and the fact that you just have to remember, nobody's trying to ruin your childhood. People are trying to make things that they are proud of and that they love. So,
and they're trying to create new memories for the children of today.
Yeah. For new generations. Yeah. So, with that, thank you guys for listening to this episode. It's a little bit of a longer one than normal. So I hope
That's
you guys
okay.
enjoyed it. Yeah. And we will be back with another episode soon.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tuneafternoon, as well as on Twitter at tuneafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. And pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.